And welcome back. And it feels very, very odd to be calling David Rubin to talk to him. I was just in Israel. David Rubin is in Israel. And David, I'm really sorry. We talked by phone a couple of times while I was there. We just couldn't work it out between my schedule and yours and family things on your side. And of course, the business of trying to stay with my group and everything while we were there. But listen, I meant what I said. The next time you're in the U.S., let me know. I'll come to wherever you are. And there's a steak dinner on it for me somewhere to take you out. But I appreciate you being here. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, and don't worry, the steak dinner will be on hold.
Okay, there you go. David Rubin is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and he's the head of the Shiloh Children's Fund, and I'll let him plug that just a little bit at the very end of our time today. David, it would almost appear when I began hearing late last night, early this morning here, Fort Wayne time, that the Ben-Gurion Airport, among other things there in Israel, was basically shutting down for a while. Not because of a overall security threat per se, but because of this ongoing thing with Benjamin Netanyahu wanting to do something to reform the way justices are selected for Israel and the control that the prime minister and the Knesset might have over justices. I'm going to ask you, you and I haven't talked about this, so let me just ask you straight out of the box. Is this a genuine concern for many in Israel? Or is this, as some are saying, just an over-the-top power grab by the prime minister?
Well, look, it's a concern when the people are not the ones who select the Supreme Court justices. That is the biggest concern as far as I see it, and as far as a majority of the nation sees it. In the United States, you have a system whereby the president appoints a Supreme Court justice, a new Supreme Court justice. The Congress confirms
Correct.
That Supreme Court justice or rejects it in certain cases. So basically, you know, you could have a Republican president appointing a new Supreme Court justice, and then there's a change, and there's a Democrat in power, and the Democrat appoints someone more to his liking.
Right.
So ultimately, the people are the ones who are selecting the new Supreme Court justice because they're the ones who elected their representatives, whether it's president or the senators. It's a pretty democratic system, I think, with a small d, and I think that's the way it should be, that the people are represented.
Right, yeah, because here, a president puts forward somebody, and the Senate ends up thumbs up or thumbs down. So you're right. The people's elected officials decide who gets in to the court. At the end of the day, is that what it is that Netanyahu and others are trying to get instilled even more readily in the government there in Israel?
Well, as I was saying, it reflects the American system, whether one likes the current makeup of the Supreme Court or not. It overall, over time, reflects the values of the people. So if you look at the Israeli system, in contrast to that, that's not the way it's been. For the past 20-plus years, the Supreme Court has been a self-perpetuating body. It selects itself, along with some Knesset members, some Israeli parliament members, who form the selection committee, together with just certain justices of the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court president, who has two votes, and several lawyers from the Bar Association. So basically what you have here is a legal monopoly over the legal system, which is not checks and balances. Checks and balances says that you have a balanced system that over time will reflect the will of the people.
What would you say right now is the major push, not of Netanyahu or of the government or even of the Knesset, but right now, what's the major push on the street. When I was there for the last 2 weeks in Israel, we saw some people standing at various street corners throughout Jerusalem, even, you know, up north in Israel. They were everywhere, but it was pretty quiet. It was rather tame, but now things are getting more out of hand. Is this a protest from the people saying, yes, what Netanyahu is trying to do is right, or no, he needs to stop where he is, or is this an evenly split argument happening on the streets of Israel?
Well, generally in Israel, when you have a government that's bringing across a policy legislation that the opposition to the government doesn't like, so you're going to see demonstrations against the government. You don't often see demonstrations in favor of the government and what they're doing. So what we've had over the past few months is finally there is a conservative government in Israel for the first time, that there is a real conservative government, a real conservative governing coalition, and you have those on the left who are opposed to it and who are doing everything in their power in order to bring down the government, which you can do in a parliamentary system through legal means. But some of the means that they've been using aren't legal, you know, attacking Knesset members physically, threatening the ministers in the Israeli government, threatening them physically, threatening assassinations. That's what the left has been doing over the past few months. Now, tonight, for the first time, those who support the government and voted for the government in the millions in the last election, they came out into the streets, and there were about 200,000 people out in the streets who support the government's judicial reform, which is, of course, as I explained, trying to make the judicial system more a reflection of what the people want. And I think, you know, right now there's a pause because the Knesset will be out of session in another few days for the holidays in Israel, for Passover and Independence Day holidays. And then you are going to see the government moving forward again with this legislation. I would be very surprised if they don't. And now that the right side of the political spectrum is out on the streets again, you are going to see a ferocious political debate, but hopefully this reform will pass because it's something that Israel needs. Israel needs that to have true freedoms established to the extent that that the people have their will and their values truly reflected in the representatives who make the laws.
Now, as I've read 10 to 12 articles from around the world today on this situation in Israel, my take, and of course I'm not there and Israel is not my government, but my take, would it be the same as yours, that if in fact they can get these reforms or something very close to it done to where the Supreme Court is not the overarching in control of everything, their own destiny and that of the government and that of the nation and everything, but to bring it into a check and balance, would this not just be something that might benefit a Netanyahu administration, but in the long haul would end up genuinely benefiting the Israeli government?
Well, the goal is to benefit not just the Netanyahu's administration and not just the Israeli government. It's to benefit the Israeli people in the state of Israel. Governments come and go. Right now you have a right-wing government. A few years from now you could have a left-wing government. These things do happen. Governments change, and you need a fair system in which the people's representatives have the final say, as opposed to a self-perpetuating body like the current Supreme Court that wasn't elected by the people and wasn't even indirectly elected by the people. So they shouldn't be selecting themselves. Any fair-minded person understands that.
Well, listen, I appreciate you being on today, David. Listen, still trying to get over jet lag from coming back from Israel just night before last. I get it, and the night is much later for you than it is for us. So I appreciate your making the chance to be here with our program today and to give us some insight. As I said, let me do this for you. Can you tell us a little bit more about the fund that you oversee and trying to help children there in Israel through the Shiloh Children's Fund?
Well, it's a big topic, Pat, but I'll try to keep it short. The Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, that's spelled S-H-I-L-O-H, Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, was established by me after a terror attack when I was wounded, along with my three-year-old son, who was shot in the head.
Mm.
And we established therapeutic programs for children, a blending we have on two campuses and partially on two additional campuses. We have a blending of therapy and education, a wide variety of therapeutic programs to heal the trauma of the terror victim children here mm-hmm. in Israel and to restore some of that lost innocence of childhood to their lives. So I'd like to encourage all of your listeners to find out more by going to our website, which is ShilohIsraelChildren.org.
Shiloh, S-H-I-L-O-H, ShilohIsraelChildren.org.
That's correct. That's correct.
And hopefully they can find out more about you. David, it's very late for you over there. Thank you, my good friend. Somewhere, either there or here, there's a steak dinner between the two of us coming up somewhere in the future. And I'm just going to try to get through the balance of the program today before I go totally brain dead from my jet lag. But I appreciate very much you making time for us this evening. Prayers and thoughts for all that's going on in Israel right now. Prayers and thoughts for you and what it is that you do, not just for your son, but for other children in Israel through the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. And as always, we'll keep promoting that here on the Pat Miller program as well. David, thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you, Pat.
All right, my friend. You're a good man. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Podcasts by Federated Media.